Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. So it's now, brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my needs. Don't hesitate because I am a seed. Cause every good.
Good evening, and welcome to Friday night. Tonight we have Matters of the Heart broadcast, and we welcome you to the broadcast this evening. We thank you for joining us. This evening, your host for Matters of the Heart Singles Ministry will be Minister Maggie Wilson and Reverend Robin White, as I'm stepping in for Reverend Ray today. So we look forward to hearing from you, and we're looking forward that you're here on this evening. So I have Sister Maggie Wilson joining me. So I want to make sure, this is my first time working from the studio, so everyone please bear with me as I get her connected. Minister Maggie, are you with me? Minister Maggie, are you there? Well, as we wait for her to come on, I want to just go ahead, and before we open up, I want to make sure that everyone is aware of all of our ministries that we do have and broadcasts that come on when Christians Speak Talk Radio. So we have weekly broadcasts that come on each week, and those weekly broadcasts are His Abounding Grace broadcast comes on Tuesday at 7 p.m. with Minister Vanessa Williams, Declaring the Finished Work on Thursdays at 12 noon with Pastor Pat Randall. We have Friday Night Joy, which is on the first, second, and third Fridays at 7 p.m. with Reverend Ray and friends. We have Bread of Life, which is the first and third Sundays at 7 p.m. with Reverend Ray. We have Challenge to Change on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. with Pastor Paul Morgan. And we have monthly broadcasts as well. And on first Mondays of each month, we have Lifeline, and that is with Apostle Shirley Jones at 7 p.m. We have The Bold and Beautiful with Reverend Novena Reed, Reverend Chris Alston, and Minister Jordana Cunningham every second Saturday at 10 a.m. We have Adoration with Evangelist Louis McIlwin every third Monday of the month. And we also have Marriage Takeover, The Body of One, with Reverend Eric and Reverend Tamiko Thompson, which is every third Sunday at 7 p.m. We also have R3, which is Real Life, Real Men, and Real Talk, with Ray, Antonio, Tyrone, Cleophas, and Elston. And they air every second Sunday at 7 p.m. And we also have a weekly prayer, Midday Glory Prayer, with Reverend Gwendolyn Dixon, is every Wednesday at 1 p.m. The dial-in number for Midday Glory Prayer on Wednesdays is 712-770-5505. The access code is 732-499. And those are currently the broadcasts that we do have on When Christians Speak Talk Radio, but we're looking forward to adding more to our lineup. So we are really thankful for what we have going on and what will be coming soon. So we thank God for what he is doing with the ministry and all that is will continue to happen with When Christians Speak. So we want you to just sit back and be prepared for the show or the broadcast on this evening. We're looking forward to hearing from Minister Maggie Wilson, and she has a lot to share. We're continuing on with the love languages, which was started 2 months ago, because this will actually be the third time that we have this particular ministry, Matters of the Heart Singles Ministry. So we are looking forward to her coming on, and that hour we will go forth on with the love languages. If you were blessed to have been a part and to hear that broadcast a couple of months ago, there was such a wealth of great information that was shared. So I'm looking forward to speaking with Minister Maggie Wilson. Looking forward to her joining.
Hello.
Oh, thank the Lord. Hi there, Sister Maggie. How are you?
I'm blessed. How are you?
I am glad. I was just trying to say, I'm going to try to reach out to Brother Ray to see how do I get her on. I thought I had not gotten you on properly, but I'm glad you're on.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. So I was just kind of sharing that this is the second time that we're coming forth with regards to the five love languages that you and Reverend Ray had spoken on the love languages 2 months ago before there were guest speakers on last month for Matters of the Heart. So
yes. We
are about to open up in prayer, and then after we open up in prayer, I'm going to be really eager to hear all that you have to share as we continue on going through the love languages. How are you, by the way, this evening?
I'm blessed. How are you?
I'm good. I'm just blessed, God, for this opportunity to co-host with you. It's an honor to be with you. I have been listening to this particular broadcast, and it has been such a blessing. So I'm looking forward to all that there is for this evening. So
Amen.
We're going to go ahead and open up in prayer, and we're going to go ahead and get started. Amen?
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you right now, Lord God. We come with praises and thanksgiving in our hearts and in our minds, Lord. Father, we are so thankful, Lord, that we are your children and that you have called us to such a time as this. So, Father, we come right now putting all the cares of the day and of the work and all those things that we've had to do just to stop right now, Lord God, and just give you our total undivided attention, just to acknowledge you, Lord God, in the beauty of your holiness and the purity of your truth, just looking forward to those things that you are having to share on this evening. So, Father, we come, we move out, Lord God. We just have this platform where we can just lift you up so that you can draw all men unto you. So, Father, we thank you and we honor you. We pray that the Holy Spirit would just have his way on this broadcast as we discuss love language from the one and from the perspective of the one who is the lover of us all, and that is you. So you have all of the languages, Lord God. So, Father, we thank you, Lord God, as you begin to just share with us on this evening. And it's in Christ Jesus' name that I pray and say amen and amen. Well, Minister Maggie, you want to pick up? I don't know. I know that on the last time you all were discussing the love language of affirmation, and you all shared such a wealth of great information. So where do you all plan to go for this week?
Well, we actually want to revisit it because there's been a lot of stuff we talked about it. So I just want to go into it just a little more just to give a refresh of what we already discussed.
So
when we talk about the five love languages, it's basically how we communicate with our loved ones. It can be a significant other, husband and wife. It can be family members, or it can be, siblings, children, parent to child. Any relationship that we communicate with, this is how we perceive our love language. So there is a quiz that one can take online that will ask you a few questions, and then once you complete the quiz, and it's free, then you're able to, it determines what your love language is. So according to the list that I have, like you mentioned, words of affirmation. So words of affirmation is actually my number one. No, I'm sorry, not words of affirmation. Quality time is my number one, but words of affirmation is my second one. So it's so close in ranking, and the score is what they call bilingual, so to speak, because it also speaks for me, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does.
So I have quality time, and then I have words of affirmation. So words of affirmation, as we know, affirmations are words, things that speak. So it says words of affirmation are when we acknowledge verbally or written how much someone means to us. For kids and adults, this may be telling someone, thank you, I appreciate you, or you mean a lot to me. You know, mm-hmm. if that's your love language, when someone says that to you, they're speaking your language. So it's like we're communicating and I'm understanding you and you're appreciating me and you're showing me and you're telling me that you're appreciating me speaks volume to me because that's what I want to hear, basically. That's what makes me feel validated, if that makes sense.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It does.
And other examples are you did a wonderful job at whatever, it could be anything, you know, for a parent speaking to a child. You did a wonderful job doing your chores this week, something like that, right? Or you did a wonderful mm-hmm. job in school this week. You know, you followed all the directions. You did what you were supposed to do. Another example is thank you for helping me with. It can be anything. As spouses, you know, which some of us are looking to be married if we're not, you know, it's like thank you for helping me with the laundry. Thank you for helping me with the groceries, you know, things of that nature that speaks to us, that makes us feel validated, and that's our language. Another one is I really appreciate it when you fill in a blank. It can be whatever it is. You know, I really appreciate it when you, you know, turned off the light in the bathroom. It can be anything. Something that you paid attention to. It sounds a little trivial, but it's something that you paid attention to, and something that I paid attention to, and you appreciated me for it, right?
Okay.
So it says you mean so much to me.
Mm-hmm.
That's your love language. Most of us love hearing you mean so much to me anyway. But when it's your love language, it really speaks volumes to you. Of course, you know, saying I love you is always number one. We all want to hear that, right? But when it's our something, go ahead.
Yes, definitely. I'm just agreeing with you.
Yeah, when it's our love language, hearing the words I love you speaks so, so much. You know, it's even in complimenting them, speaking positively about things that you've written positive notes. Left notes on a mirror. These are some ways that if that person that you're in a relationship with, if words of affirmation is their love language, these are some ways that you can speak to them. You know, say for instance, and I'm just throwing out scenarios here. Say for instance, your husband and wife, and you had a disagreement. You may want to leave a note on the mirror stating that, you know, I apologize and tell them how much you appreciate them. And acknowledging the fact that, okay, you took the time out and you wrote this for me, you said this for me, that speaks volume to me because words of affirmation is what I need to validate who I am because that's my language.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
And even talking about writing notes in the lunchbox of a child, you know, which is awesome because if you look at, I know I watch TV. So when you look at some of these commercials with the yogurt and the Rice Krispie treats, and they have a little area where parents can write like a little note to them when they stick it in their lunchbox. If that's the child's love language, is words of affirmation, you could write little notes to the child. And when they open their lunchbox and they see it, and they're like, oh, my God, my mom or my dad left me a note here. And this speaks volume to them. And this does something to their spirit. It uplifts them.
Yeah.
So those are some of the things that words of affirmation, if that's your love language, those are some of the things that we look to hear from our significant other when that is our love language. Did you want to say anything about words of affirmation?
Well, I just think it's awesome being that, you know, as we all know, that we are created in the image and after the likeness of God. And we truly know, in like in Proverbs 3:6, I believe it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. And you know, and it says, and he shall direct thy path. So it's the same as when you say you have the words of affirmation, and it is that when you affirm someone, you acknowledge them. And in return, they acknowledge you. You know, so that,
yeah.
You know, I can see that comparison as being, as far as with God, where we should always acknowledge him in everything, because as we acknowledge, as he, and as we bring him into our situation, he flows towards us, you know. So I guess that's the same thing, that affirmation is, as you affirm someone, they want to flow more because you're going to give them more affirmation. So, you know, words of affirmation is really something that is a, you know, it's a love language that keeps flowing in both directions.
Yes. I like that you said that, because that's how God is, right? And when we worship him and we give him accolades, it invites him into our situation where we are, because he wants to hear that from his children. So that's awesome that you brought that up, because that's exactly how it is when we worship God. You know, when we, the Bible said, worship him in spirit and in truth. But when we're worshiping him and we're saying, Father, we just thank you, and Father, we just bless you. You are magnificent. You are mighty. You are awesome wonder. We are inviting God in our presence, and he wants to commune with us. So when we're speaking those words of affirmation unto the Father, then he steps right in whatever situation that we find ourselves in, because those are his, that's his language as well. Amen?
Yes. Yes.
I love it. I love it. That's beautiful.
Even as we go through all of the love language, we will really see that all of the love languages are his love languages. And
absolutely.
So, you know, we are applying them to man, but then we also have to step back and say, but we are created in his image and after his likeness.
That's
so
right.
All of those same things that pertain to him pertain to us, you know.
Absolutely.
And he is love himself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's appropriate that these things would, you know, circle right back to God, because God is love.
I love it. Yes, I love it. And we, like you said, and we're made in his image. So if this is what we, you know, even though we are limited in what areas, God is unlimited. So like
he's
you said, all of these would pertain to him. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
That's the blessing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the more that I think that, the more that we even get to know our own love language and the love language others, the more we're inviting God in, because then we are walking and operating in love, because we're meeting people right where they are and they're meeting us right where we are. So therefore, we get the opportunity to show God in another manner.
Yes. Oh, yes. I love it. That is so true. That is so true. I'm sorry. Someone's asking for the phone. It's a cool line.
Yes. God.
Amen.
I did take the love language test.
So share with us what your love language is.
My love language, I mean, is in order. It's quality time, physical touch, and then words of affirmation, acts of service, and receiving gifts. I mean, but when you look at, I mean, I don't have, I'm not bilingual. I just want quality time.
Right.
You know, and then physical touch and all of the others drop way down, you know.
Oh,
so
my
top
were
quality time and physical touch, and then the others are a blip. but bless God, you know. Bless God.
So that's good, because my number one, okay, so you the in the percentage ranking, I have 33 for quality time. And for words of affirmation, I have 31. That's why I'm like, it's so close. And everything else is like very low. I mean, very low.
And I found
the test very fascinating, because a lot of times when we're going to dive into this next, which is happens to be both of ours, which is quality time, I found that it was weird to me that physical touch, I scored very low in physical touch, because in my mind I was thinking, well, in quality time, there has to be some sort of physical touch, but not necessarily so. Mm-hmm. And I had to, like, when, and as I read the book, of course, and it gave examples of different scenarios and different things that explains what quality time looks like. So let's dive in. It says, quality time is a love language where people enjoy doing things with the one or ones they love, specific examples of ways to spend quality time together is doing homework together. Like, whoever thought doing homework together was quality time. I'm trying to do my homework. But it's just a matter, it's just a fact of you guys are together. You know?
Yes, that matters.
And, yes. it says, having no tech time. So basically, if we're sitting down to dinner together, and I don't know if that's how you are. What is your name again? Is it Sherry? Am I saying it right?
Robin,
where are you sharing from? Oh, God. So, Robin, so it's like we're sitting down. I'm so sorry. When we're sitting down to dinner together, wherever the case is, I don't know about you, but I know for me, if I see somebody pick up their phone, I'm like, why are they picking up their phone? Like, we're having a conversation.
Even if I'm out someplace and I see two people together and someone is just on their phone, that really grieves me because why are you here together if you're going to be on your phone? So, yeah.
Exactly. It's a major, major distraction. And to me, it's like you're not really paying me any attention to what we're talking about. It's not of importance to you. And I have a problem with that as a person that needs quality time.
Yes.
The next,
and that's very words of affirmation in that. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't even affirm what I'm, you know, you can't acknowledge what I'm doing or you can't say anything. It comes the same with quality time. It's that you can't even acknowledge that I'm here, you know.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like the same. You know, give me the time to acknowledge that I'm here and that I'm valid and relevant in this moment.
Yes.
Let's be in the, you know.
Yes, I love it. Valid. Yes, I love that. The next one says, read a story together. I mean, like you said, it's just being there together, doing something together, giving me your undivided attention. That's quality time together. Have a special date night. You know, we're sitting at dinner. I need, you know, we're engaging and we're talking. I don't need you picking up your phone or looking around or, you know, observing other things when we are here together. You know, we should be paying attention to each other. And I'm seeing that too. You know, you see people sitting around, you see the other person not even engaging, you just looking around doing other things. That's annoying.
It's
pay attention.
Showing love.
Go ahead. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it also talks about paying attention to details they share with you. Quality time. So it's like if you said something to someone and it was so important to you, and then later on when you talk about it and they have no recollection of what was said, I don't know about you, but me, I'm like, well, we had this conversation. Like, why don't you remember that? That's important to me. Like, I need you to remember that.
Yes.
That's a major detail.
Yes. And it can. And then you have to kind of check yourself because, you know, for me, from quality time, you have to be step back, you know, because you always want to operate in love. You don't want to come across as I'm really annoyed that you didn't remember, you know. Mm-hmm. So you want to come back and check yourself and say, well, you know, I kind of think we may have discussed that at some point. So, but let me just to, you know, bring me back into a recollection. This is how that happened, you know, so as, you know, you want them to realize that we discussed this, but at the same time, you don't want to come off harsh.
Yeah.
But you do want them to acknowledge at the same time.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, you still want your points and your position and your thoughts to be validated, you know, and not necessarily so much always validated, but you want them to be acknowledged, basically.
Yeah.
That I heard you. Mm-hmm. I heard you. I see you. I heard you, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah. And it's funny because I was having a conversation earlier with Pastor Ray about that, and I was like, it's something that I realized, and please share if you think you have realized it as well. And dating or trying to date or, you know, or being with a significant other, quality time is our love language and it's so important. But at the same time, if the person doesn't understand our love language as of quality time, it can come across as being clingy or needy, if that makes sense.
I understand.
Because that's, yeah. So it's like, oh, my God. So it's like if they don't understand that's your love language and you want to, like, always spend quality time with them and do things with them because that's our love language, it can come across as being kind of clingish. And that's why, you know, I urge anyone, you know, do the quiz, find out your love language, get the book, read it, and do some research about yourself and learn yourself. Because, like you said, you don't want to come across pushy and you don't want to come across harsh or anything. But if that's my love language and, you know, you're not needing it, then I'm not going to be, what's the word I'm looking for? Okay, for instance, let me give an example. Like my daughter, that's her wild. That's her love language. And she was dating this guy who never spent time with her. And I said, well, how is that going to work for you? That's your love language, and he's not spending time with you. And evidently he's not the one, because you always want to be in a relationship with someone that you guys complement each other. So if you're the one that's always doing and he's not, then that's – she's younger, you know. So that's not the type of relationship. So this kind of guides you in a way of dating, being with a significant other – for both you guys, you know, and sometimes, you know, even in dating, we're learning about each other. We're collecting data. So we're sharing these things or aspects about ourselves with our significant other so that we can understand and cohabit together. But if they're not willing to understand that, then that's a red flag to some degree, because then you're like, okay, then my need is not being met. I'm trying to meet yours, but mine is not being met. So then that's not going to be healthy for us in the long run, because that's my language, but you're not speaking it. Make sense?
Mm-hmm. It makes very much sense.
Yeah.
Very much.
Yeah. So I was like, wow. And I was just sharing this with Hester Ray today, and I was like, okay, I'm we're still learning. Look, okay, how old we get, we've learned something new about ourselves.
Oh, yeah, we're constantly learning. We don't ever want to stop.
Not at all. Two more says, make time to eat together as a family. And the other one is have a special bedtime morning routine together. Which is understandable, because some couples, they do. They have, you know, especially with children, you definitely do, because you have to, that's just how you set the precedent in your home. I know for me with my children, this is what I did. You know, everybody, bedtime routine, we had a morning routine. You know what you need to do to prepare for bed. You know what you need to do to prepare in the morning for school, for when you were preparing to get ready for school, and I was preparing to go to work. So we all had a routine, right? So when this is quality time, when we're doing it together, it's speaking to our love language. Now, it's on the first side of things, you know. Sorry.
That's good.
Yeah. So on the flip side of things, when we speak about quality time, we have to spend time with God, right, to bring God in this. Because anything that we do unto the Lord. So we have to spend quality time with God in order to get to know him. So how do we spend quality time with God? Through prayer, through studying of his word, through fellowship with him. These are the things or examples that we can use how to develop our relationship with him, is by spending quality time with him. We look at it from a relationship aspect as a man and woman, but we look at it as a relationship as a father and a daughter, as a mother and a son. You know, God wants to spend time. Our Father wants to spend time with us. Scripture says, behold, he stands at the door and knock. If any man will open, he will come in and sup with you. So if we allow that time with him, we spend that quality time with him, we develop into the person who we need to be, Christ-like, and then he imparts in us the things that we need. And he wants to spend quality time with us. So he doesn't, you know, lot of times we put God on the back burner and we wait and we don't do like we should as Christians. But God is saying he wants to spend quality time with us. But we have to be the willing vessels to be able to spend that time with him through prayer. Prayer is essential as a Christian. There's no way we can say, you know, we're Christians and we don't pray to God. We don't communicate with God. We don't talk with him. Quality time is definitely words of affirmation. Those are the things that we do to get closer to God. Amen?
Amen, definitely. And Jesus showed that all the time because he would always slip away, slip away to have that time. And it is important. You know, we don't, I'm not saying anyone should get boxed in, that you should have, you know, they have a lot of these things that say, you know, set a something on your clock or, you know, set a date time with God. I mean, but you can be anywhere and commune with God. You know, it doesn't have to be structured like that, you know. It can be any time. You can slip away. You can be sitting at your desk at work and just feel like, I'm going to slip away, and I'm just going to go in the bathroom for a minute. You know, at any time, you know, you can be cooking dinner, you know, and kids going crazy in the background, and you can be there in a peaceful conversation with God, you know. So, you know, everyone's, like in the natural, everyone's relationship with God is different. So, and it's not a cookie cutter for anyone. We just need to have our own tailor-made relationship with God. And just as long as it's something that is robust and meaningful and, you know, a two-way flow of conversation, you know, that's what's important. But it's, you know, but don't try to make it cookie cutter like anyone else's, because you are unique to God and your relationship with him is unique.
Amen. That is so, so true. That is so true. And I think that's where sometimes people miss it, because we try to make it cookie cutter. And God is not in a box. He operates outside of the box. He doesn't even operate in our time. So it's just a matter of us, when, like you said, whenever you feel the need, whenever you feel the urge, spend that time with him, do the things that's required to develop that relationship with him. And it can be at any time. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Mm-mm.
And God is not, we're, as mankind, we are in the boundaries of time. God is not. You know, he is not bound to any time. We are. You know, and that we are, you know, loving and in love with and have been chosen by an eternal God, you know, who's Alpha Omega. You know, he is not confined. It's simply, it says, God is. Never was. God is. He is, and he is present all the time. He is being all the time. You know, he he's never out of time. He's never out of season. God is.
That's right. That's right. Amen. Amen. So the next love language is acts of service. Acts of service is doing something for someone to show them that you care, helping with chores, school projects, driving places, making your favorite meals and snacks. Some of the examples are practice sports or hobbies together. Right? Some people do crochet. Some people do baking, basketball, soccer, you know, different things, that football, you know, you can do the, you can watch a football game together, you can, you know, do things together. That's act of service. Other thing is helping with chores. Work on schoolwork together. You know, you may have struggling in math or whatever the case is, you just want to sit there with your child or whatever and just sit there and go over the math problems together and learn it together. You know, I'm laughing because I watched a lot of TV. I was watching one episode of The Cosby Show where the new math came out and Vanessa had to show Bill Cosby how to do the new math.
Oh.
I couldn't understand the new math. So that was me one day. So it's like just doing that together. That's acts of service. She took the time out to show her dad just how to do the new math. So the other one is making their special meals together. Take them somewhere they enjoy. Acts of service. I know for me, one of my sons, his love language is acts of service. So it's like every time I go visit him, I have to prepare his favorite meal. He loves the peach cobbler and the beef ribs and the mac and cheese and all of those things. So he's like, Mom, no, so of course I'm going to do it because.
What time is dinner?
Oh my God. When every time I go, I cannot leave without making peach cobbler. And he just has to have peach. If nothing else, I have to have left a pan of peach cobbler for me. It's no way. He's not trying to hear it. But that's
the
language.
Best God. So you know how you can easily show him love, right?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. And he said, Mom, you told me you can cook a nice meal or do something. You know, that's how I am. I said, yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. And when we look at acts of service in reference to God, when we spend quality time with him, when we do things to help other people of ourselves, when we give in of ourselves to other people, whether it's helping someone with their groceries or sowing a seed into their life or helping a parent with their children, you know, maybe, you know, you have a friend who may need you to watch their children because they got to go to work and they don't have anybody else. Like, these are acts of service. These are love languages that we speak to the other person, but in reference to God, because like I said earlier, whatever we do it unto the Lord. So that's a way of showing acts of service. When we sacrifice our time for God, that's also an act of service. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So those are some of the examples. If you could think of anything else, please, you know, interject. That's it, what I have right now.
Yeah, and it's different for everyone, you know, the acts of service. Like you said, even with the example that you've used for your son, you know, and acts of service, it's small things. It's like, I'm not asking you to build a house today, you know. I mean, but when, let's say, if it's a husband and wife situation and you come home and she's trying to cook dinner, do homework and everything else, and you come in and actually recognize that and take something off the plate and say, well, you know, if you go ahead, let me with the homework, you know, or and that, you know, that will speak tons for a woman who has acts of service as her gift, you know, or her love language that she desires.
Mm-hmm.
It's that sometimes, I mean, even for those where it may not be high on our list, but if you're in a relationship and you know, a love relationship with someone, it is good to see that someone recognizes that you're overwhelmed and they come in to help, you know.
Yeah.
And because for me, I mean, I'm a single woman. I think I'm quite, you know, independent. But, you know, tell me to program the DVR and I'll probably pull my hair out, you know. So, you know, so it's, you know, I'm very appreciative of anyone who's going to program the DVR, you know.
Right.
Or I have any little electronic that is like, okay, that's where I pull the plug right there. That's where I'm going to lose it. So I'm going to really feel loved if you come and fix this electronic issue I have going on here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's, you know, and that's just the acts of service could be small things. They don't have to be such big things, but, you know, I'm sure with the gift of acts of service, it's very meaningful, particularly when you have acts of service and you're overwhelmed, you know, or you're struggling with, and someone comes in and recognizes that. You know, it's just like all of the other affirmation and quality time. It's the recognition. It's the acknowledgement that I need something. I need some. This is a spot where you can come fill this spot for me. I need some help, you know. So acts of service is real. And for a person with having a high language of acts of service, it can, just like all of the other love languages, if that tank is empty, I mean, you can go buy all the nice gifts, you know, all that you want, your pretty sparkly earrings or whatever. But if I had the acts of service and this DVR in working, I'm going to be still, my tank is still going to be empty, even though I got on a pretty pair of earrings. You know, that's why it's, you know, this was great what Gary Chapman pulled this together. I mean, because...
Yes.
You know, it's a great tool. You know, I think I had listened to you and Reverend Bray previously where you had said you like to have people get things in their toolkit. So this is just knowing this is a great tool because, and I view it kind of on the same lines as the spiritual gifts. If you know what a person's gift is, just as knowing what a person's love language is, your whole relation with them and relationship with them alters. You know, because then you don't have to no longer, like you say, with a person who has quality time, you don't necessarily see them as needy or clingy. You see them as that's what gives them love. Mm-hmm. You know, so it kind of changes your entire perspective. And when you see what's same with the person with perhaps the acts of service, you know, no, they're not just demanding that you do such and such, but you're doing these small things for them, just it fills up their love tank and makes them feel valued and valuable. You know, and I think that is what's behind all the love language is knowing what reaffirms a person, knowing what makes them feel valued and valid and you know, worth your time to do for or say, you know, and it's all, they're all valid. All of the languages are valid, you know, particularly to the person who has them, you know. It's just a matter of, it's a great tool in the toolkit. Because you would know how to make someone feel loved, and that's what it's all about. You know, is making someone feel valued and valuable and that they are valid and that you see them and you know them, and I think that's just so important.
Amen. Yes, that is so, so important. And speaking of value and I couldn't even get the words out. Speaking of value, moving on to the next one is gifts. Now, this particular love language, you don't have to spend a whole lot of money on. Even though it says gifts, you don't need to spend a lot of money on it. It's just the act of showing it, right? So it says gifts are just that. Adults and children with this love language like to be surprised with gifts or small tokens of appreciation that are tangible, something that they can put their hands on.
Tangible.
Tangible, yes. So Gary Chapman suggests that you keep small stash of inexpensive gifts, right, around if this is that person's love language. Every once in a while, you just want to pull something out and just show them that you can. It can be a one rose. It doesn't have to be a dozen roses. It can be one rose. Matter of fact, that you took time out to do that. And it says give them a flower, right? So it doesn't have to be a dozen of it because, you know, you may not have it like that, but you want to give them something, so give them one rose. And if that's their love language, they're going to appreciate the fact that you took time out and you picked out a rose for, specifically just for them. You're speaking to their love language. It says, leave small gifts for them when you are out of town or won't see them that much, which is wise because if you a person that always have to travel for work or whatever case or ministry, whatever the case is, and you have to leave a significant other at home and their love language is receiving gifts, then if you leave one party, we talked about leaving like a gift scavenger hunt, like you can leave a note and give them clues as to where they can find their package or whatever it is that you got. Like that keeps the spark in relationships, right? Like as I'm speaking about it, I'm like, yeah, that would be fun. But it does. It keeps the spark in a relationship, you know, and if that's their love language, that would speak so much value to them because they feel that, okay, you're not there at the moment, but you left something in place of. So I know that you still love me. Not that you wouldn't, but I know that the love is there and that you're speaking my language, that even though, you know, I miss you, you left something that will remind me that I'm still thinking about you. That's what that is all about.
Yes.
I think that is so precious.
Amen.
I'm taking the scavenger hunt thing. I'm digging that. That's not even my love
language.
I'm digging it. Yeah.
That's good.
Scavenger hunt. I think that would be so cute. And even with our kids, you know, when you think about it, every year growing up as a child during Easter time or Resurrection Sunday, these kids go on an egg scavenger hunt, and they get a kick out of looking for eggs, Easter eggs all over the place.
There's excitement of it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, even though we're adults, every one of us still have that little child in us that looks for those things, you know, that would just pique or spark our love language or who we are about, you know, that speaks value to us of who we are. So I think that is so, so amazing. And when we think about gifts, so you talk about the gifts of the Spirit, but then we think about when reference to God, you know, we give God gifts when we give him the things that he requires of us. When we sow seed into the ground in ministries and people, you know, it could be someone who has fallen on hard times and maybe needed a meal, and we fed that person for that day. You know, those are gifts. Those are things that, you know, a need was met. It may not be the number one love language, but we met a need for that person at that time. And God sees those things, and he honors those things. So I think that is so amazing.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it is just
amazing how, you know, God just knows exactly what we need, and it's even more special where you just walk into a need and he provides it, you know, and sometimes it's not even necessarily something that we think that we need, but then he drops something or puts someone in your path or puts someone, you on someone's heart, and then there it is, and you're like, wow, I didn't really realize how much I needed it, but God does, you know, and he kind of makes sure that you receive what you need, you know, and that's a blessing to put people that we can have with acts of service and who will, more than anything, they're always kind of there to help or to do something, you know, or see a need and be willing to meet that need. But I have a question for you, Pastor Maggie. What do you feel about receiving monetary gifts? I mean, in a relationship, how do you feel about receiving monetary gifts?
Well, I mean, it depends on the person. Like, if that's your love language, then I don't see what's wrong with it. I think that it's definitely something, you know, when you're in a relationship with someone, there's something that needs to be discussed so that there's a clear understanding, you know, because there's a scripture that says, I'm paraphrasing, a gift to fool the wise, so we got to be careful in receiving gifts and whom we receive gifts from. However, if that's your love language and if the person knows that and they give you a monetary gift, it's okay, but I don't think that it should be something that is constant. Because if receiving gifts is your love language and if the person is just giving you money all the time, I don't know how that's going to hold up in the long run. Because when you are a person that receives gifts as your love language, you want something that's going to sometimes be spontaneous or creative. So if you're always giving me money, and then to me, you know, money, we all need money, of course. But if it's just money, then you're not really taking the time out to really see what other needs of my language for the, you know, of the gift giving that you could be creative with, because you're not learning it. You're just pacifying. You're just pacifying it. I mean, which some people have done that in the past, where, you know, I'll just give her money, she'll be fine, you know. But again, we do need money, but we want someone that's going to take the time and be creative and do things that not like ritual or, you know, you step outside of the box and do something, you know, uncommon, if that makes sense. Like,
I understand. And I think particularly along those same lines is that, it's with the other languages, acknowledge me, recognize me. I mean, take the time. I think money, like you say, yeah, money is good, but I guess for me personally, my preference is, you know, if all you're going to do is give me money, then I don't want the money. I prefer that you take time to think about me and give something that's appropriate, or give something that you know, I know you like this, or I know this about you, or taking the time to validate me, you know, or, you know, to acknowledge me and to know me, you know. And that's the whole thing about being in a relationship, is that we are knowing one another, you know. So if you're going to give me a gift, give me something based on your knowing me. You know, that was that makes to me more special, you know, something that's more special. I guess that's why the language of gift is so low on my thing, because I don't want you to give money. You know, I prefer that if you're going to do something that is meaningful to me. And then that meaningful means saying that you know who I am, you know what I like, and you spent enough time to know me that you would give something that would be appropriate or apropos for the relationship, you know. Yeah. So, and that is something that if you're single, or even if you're married, but if you're in a relationship, you know, I don't think a woman wants to get a vacuum cleaner. You know, not as a gift for real, you know.
Right, you want something that's personable.
You know.
And hey, honey, so, I bought you a new set of pots. That's not for
me. Like, oh, yeah, okay, that's for you, because you want me to fill that pot with some food. You know, but, yeah, so I just think that, yeah, if you're kind of wanting to show the person that you're in a relationship with that you love them, and you know that their love language is gifts, you know, receiving gifts, then I think it's very special that you take the time to think about them and then give them something along those lines, you know, that's thought about you. You're important to me enough that I would take the time to think about you in our conversations, and I want to give you this because we had such an interesting conversation about this, and you felt so strongly, and I thought this was something that would kind of commemorate that, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. And let me help some of them husbands out there. You know, when it comes to Valentine's and things of that nature, we tend to buy women lingerie because we think that's what they want.
Mm-hmm.
That's for the husband.
Exactly.
I mean, lingerie is nice, don't get me wrong, but that's for you, honey. That's not for me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, and sometimes they make that mistake, you know. I'm going to give her this, but is this for her or is it for you?
Exactly,
like
because we know that men are driven by what they see. So
yes, exactly.
So that's
exactly.
More for you. So you ought to have two gifts, the lingerie and something else.
Come on here. That's right.
You know, so that is so very true.
Yes.
True.
Yes. So the last one we're going to touch.
Then we have 7 minutes left. I don't know if we can do
I'm just
gonna
go over real quick.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So, because I want to get this out the way. We don't want to be happy. So, the last one is called physical touch. And that love language refers to children and adults liking hugs, kisses, high fives, cuddles. They may also like physical activities like racing, wrestling, playing tag, and climbing in your lap. It says holding hands, hugs often, sitting together in a beanbag or a comfortable chair, sofa or something, sharing family cuddle time. You know, children love that. Sing action songs together, like Simon Says, or what's that? We used to play Father Abraham back in the day.
Okay. Wow.
Father
okay.
Abraham. Yeah, I'm taking it way back. This new generation don't even know nothing about that. Have some fun tickle time, and if your love language is physical touch, you like to be tickled because that's a touching, you know, thing. Then it says read stories together on the couch or your lap. Like you sit the child on your lap and you're reading a story to them. That is that physical touch. People who have the physical touch love language tend to always want to love you or touch you in some sort of way. We want to make sure it's safe in a safe environment, of course, especially when it comes to children. You can't let every child sit in everybody's lap, you know, so you have to definitely set boundaries. However, when this is the person's love language, they tend to want to touch all the time because physical touch is their love language, or
mm-hmm.
want to be touched because physical touch is their love language. So, yeah. So when we look at God, God wants to touch us, right?
Mm-hmm.
He wants to pour his Holy Spirit in us and commune with us. And that's how it should be with the Father, is because he's been acquainted with everything concerning us. So when we pray and talk to him and give him affirmation, give him worship and spend, you know, quality time with him and acts of service and things of that nature, he wants to buy
mm-hmm.
our words. He wants to be touched in worship. He wants to be touched in so many ways. When we develop that relationship with him, we are touching God. When we do things for other people and speaking their love language just in a healthy way, we're touching God.
Yeah.
When we do those things. So that's important. So I know I just wanted to make sure we get that out there real quick.
Yes, and he knows when he's touched. I mean, because it brings to my mind the woman with the issue of blood
mm-hmm.
who touched
mm-hmm.
the hem of his garment.
Mm-hmm.
And he
mm-hmm.
knew it was her faith and
mm-hmm.
that touched him,
yeah.
you know, and that is what is so important is that, and I think, I mean, I know it's not listed as one of the five love languages, but I know, you know, from my reading of the scripture that faith is one of God's love languages because
oh,
he is so faithful. He is so
mm-hmm.
faithful to us no
mm-hmm.
matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that a person who exhibits their particular love language,
mm-hmm.
because it's what they want to reciprocate. You know,
yeah.
it's the same with someone who has, you know, that gift of quality time or words of affirmation. If that's their gift,
mm-hmm.
they give it out a lot because
mm-hmm.
that gift is
yeah.
looking for a return. You know,
mm-hmm.
and so that's the same thing
yeah.
with God when, you know, like you said, you know, he said, who touched me? You see, because God is a faithful God. And it was that
yeah.
woman with the blood, she had the faith that if I can only touch him. And that is
yeah.
what touched him was that faith, because he is
mm-hmm.
so faithful, you know, that he recognized
yeah.
that he was being pulled by that very thing. He said the virtue came out of him. You know, he
mm-hmm.
knew that had left him because that same virtue of faith that he has, that woman tapped into it with her faith. They kind of connected and it changed. There was an entire change for both of them, you know, and
mm-hmm.
you know, and when he talks about the centurion, he says, I haven't seen this much faith in all of Israel. I mean, he's
mm-hmm.
looking for, you know, he's looking for it, you know, he's looking to be touched by it, you know. And so when you
yeah.
think of physical, You can think of it in so many different ways, because it may say physical touch, but it's actually a connection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what
yeah.
it actually is. Just having
yes,
a connection with someone,
mm-hmm.
and like
mm-hmm.
it could be a small physical touch. It can be just reaching out and touching someone's arm, or reaching out and touching, just knowing that connection that you're there and I'm connecting with you, and that
yeah.
is what God wants from us, that we connect with him by faith and by faith alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that
Amen.
That is what he wants. So we have
yeah.
2 minutes left, Pastor Maggie. Do you want to give final words and close us out in prayer?
Sure, sure will. So I want to say thank you for everyone that is listening or will listen to the replay. We appreciate you tuning in on tonight. These are love languages that Gary Chapman has shared. He has a book out called The Five Love Languages. There's one for married couples. There's one for singles. And I believe there's one for children and adults. He also has a quiz out where you can test to see what your love language is. Not just your love language, also your anger level. There's one out for anger, which I think is interesting because a lot of people don't focus on that, but I think it's something that's much needed. So with that being said, I'm going to pray, and I just want to say thank you for being my co-host on tonight. I enjoy sharing this platform with you.
Oh, bless the Lord.
God bless you. Yes, yes, yes. And I just thank God. So, Father God, In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for tonight, Lord God. We pray, Lord, that whatever we said on tonight was encouraging to someone that was listening or will listen to the replay. Father, we ask that your word will prick their heart, oh God, that they will feel encouraged and boosting and developing who they are in you, Father God. Father, we bless you and we praise you for this platform. We thank you, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, for our Pastor Ray. Lord God, we ask that you continue to bless him and keep him, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the co-host on tonight, Father God. We ask that you bless her, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord, that in the nick of time that she stepped in and she was assistant on tonight. And we thank you for her, Father. Bless whatever her hands find it to do, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless every hearer on tonight, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And we thank you and we honor you and we praise you now. In Jesus' name we say amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Maggie, for this awesome broadcast, and I look forward to hearing more on Matters of the Heart.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Bless God. Take care. Bless. Be blessed.
You too. You too.